I'm about to interview one of the leading Messianic Jewish teachers in the land. Your eyes will be opened. Your heart will be stirred.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, every show that I do here on The Line of Fire requires various amounts of preparation, of course, for live radio. Some shows, a lot of things I've got to look into, get together before the show. Other things I've got right before me in my heart, in my head, things to talk about. Well, today's show is one of those shows where I get to enjoy the show listening along with you because I've got a terrific guest, a dear friend, a tremendously insightful Messianic Jewish teacher. Every time I've heard him, it's been rich. It's been impactful. So we're going to get to enjoy this program together, and this is going to be an easy show for me to do. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. If you've got a question for me, for my guest, anything having to do with the kingdom of God, anything having to do with the meaning of the cross, anything having to do with Jewish roots, anything having to do with what God is doing and reconciling Jew and Gentile together today, this would be a great day to call. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. My guest is Dr. Howard Morgan, known to most of us as Howie. God saved him December 17th of 71. When he was last on the air with me and he was going through his testimony and we got to 71 in December and 17th, I said, you got to be kidding me. That's the night I surrendered to the Lord, December 17th of 71 as well. And he's been teaching and preaching in America and around the world ever since. Howie, it is great to reconnect with you on the air. How you doing, man?
Good, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing real well. And you're in Atlanta right now?
Yes. Yes. I'm in my office.
All right. Terrific. Well, I'm so glad you could carve out the time for our listeners today. Hey, just in brief, we've got 2 minutes in this first segment. How in the world did the Lord reach you, 1971? What was going on in your life, and how did he turn you around so dramatically?
I was a college student in Hunter College, and very crowded cafeteria one day, two strangers approached me and said, hey, can we talk to you? And being a college student in those days, I said, yeah, I'll talk to anybody about anything. And they said, we want to talk to you about Jesus. I said, cool, far out. And they began to share the gospel with me, and I began to have supernatural experiences. I felt the physical presence of God come around the table we were sitting, and I had two open visions in which the Lord showed me that I was like a man drowning in the sea. A huge ocean liner was coming by in this very clear vision. I heard the Lord say to me, Howie, I'll throw you a life preserver and save you, but if you don't take it, I won't take responsibility for what will happen to you next. Within the vision, three scenes from my life appeared in which I was in automobile accidents, serious accidents, nothing happened to me, and cars that I was traveling in that had narcotics and contraband in it, pulled over by the police, searched by the police, but they didn't find anything. So the implication was clear, Mike. I was drowning, he was passing, and the vision ended, and these were Pentecostal Bible school students, so they began talking to me about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, and all of this was being presented to me, and we were going through the four spiritual law booklet, and at the end there was a sinner's prayer, and they asked if I wanted to pray the prayer, and I said, no, not at that moment. I was wanting to go to a place near where I lived in Brooklyn, overlooking the entrance to the harbor. It was a spiritual place. He liked to get high there. Anyway, I got on the subway, the Lexington Avenue line.
Crowded. I'll tell you what, Howie, let's jump in at Lexington Avenue, leave you there. We'll find out what happens when we come back. And I reconnected with Howie to be on the air with me specifically because of an amazing story of overcoming fear. So we'll hear the rest of his testimony and then get to this fear thing. It's intense. It's wonderful what the Lord does. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today, Dr. Howard Morgan, Messianic Jewish Bible teacher. We'll give you his website in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question for Howie or for me relating to the kingdom of God, the cross, relating to Jewish roots of the faith, relating to what God is doing in reconciling Jew and Gentile today, we're going to be covering a lot of ground. 866-34-TRUTH online. Ask drbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. All right, Howie, we interrupted. All right, we've lost Howie. We have lost Howie. Dwight, that means you need to reconnect with Howie. Not sure what happened there. I don't think I did it. Did I do it? No, I did it once before to a guest, at least once years back, hitting a wrong button actually you've got to hit a certain button to keep somebody connected a certain way. And I brought a caller on and lost a guest, but thankfully they weren't on a satellite phone, climbed up a tree in Timbuktu, where that was the only possible way that we could be in communication with them, and we had to send a messenger through the jungle to get word to them that we were reconnecting. Thankfully, it wasn't that, and since we're only reconnecting with Atlanta now, we are good to go. So, Howie, back to you. Yeah, don't know what happened there, but the Lexington Avenue line, God's right. Dealing with you. You're about to come into the kingdom. So what happens?
Yes. So I'm sitting on the subway, Mike, and I hear this voice clearly speaking to my right ear. Howie, read the prayer. Read the prayer now. Howie, read the prayer. Read the prayer now. The voice was insistent and persistent, repeating, read the prayer. Read the prayer now. So under my breath, I said, all right, already, I'll read the prayer. Uh-huh. So I took the booklet out of my back pocket. I read the prayer. The instant I finished reading the prayer, this bright light exploded inside of me. I saw it go on. I felt it go on. And then I watched dark shadows, like black forces, just leave my body. And I looked around to see if anyone had seen what would happen to me. The subway was a crowded rush hour subway. Of course, nobody had seen anything. And at that moment, I knew God was real and Jesus was alive. I tell people I got on the subway in one kingdom and I got off in another.
Wow.
I immediately went to the girl I was dating at the time, a Jewish girl, and shared what happened. And she looked at me and said, wow, you sound different and have a funny look in your eyes. And I stepped on her porch and I looked in the sky and I saw three angels dancing with tambourines. And my response was, wow, there's a party going on up there. And that was the beginning of my walk with faith. The Lord delivered me from all of my connections to drugs of all different kinds and turned my heart towards Him. And I just decided, you know, that I was going to follow what I had received.
And that was 40-plus years ago. I guess you still have that funny look in your eyes.
Yeah, I think I do.
All right. So
yes.
A couple weeks ago, I did a show about dealing with fear and overcoming fear. Got a lot of interesting calls and notes from folks as we were doing the program. And your wife, Janet, sent me a note about a testimony that you had. In fact, we're going to make the CD available to our listeners as a resource today. So yes. She told me about a testimony you had. Then you and I emailed, and you gave me more background to it. And I thought,
right.
You know, I don't know that everyone's going to get the CD, but everyone can listen to us on radio at the least and then
right.
get more of your resources. So this is so fascinating. Of course, I'm from New York originally. I've sometimes been led by God to stand up and shout out the gospel on subways in years past. You remember what I had overcome on my mind to do that? Or stand on a street corner, hand out literature, share your faith. We all get these different assignments, but how old were you in the Lord when you got this assignment? And what was the nature of this assignment, which is certainly going to instill fear in most of us?
Yeah, it was the winter of, like, December of 1979. So I was 8 years in the Lord, and I had just been pastoring for about 2 years. And I was praying, and December has always been a month of revelation for me, and I was praying, and the Lord said to me, I want you to get a soapbox and stand on the corner of East 16th Street and King's Highway at 5:30 and preach to the crowd.
And what's happening at 5:30 there for folks that aren't from New York?
That's the middle of rush hour. So thousands of people are getting off of that subway station, which was near my home.
Near your home, too. Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, Mike, when he spoke that to me, it was like something inside of me came apart. It was like a ball of string made out of steel-like wire, like spring. It just exploded. And the fear that began to rise in me was so profound. And God began dealing with issues of fear that had been lurking in the background of my life that I just kind of ignored and pushed to the side and didn't deal with. And
wow.
He began to show me places where, as a child, I was attacked when I was in the seventh grade in junior high school. Mark Twain, I was attacked by two kids. I was in the hallway going on an errand for a teacher. They came out of nowhere, put like a string around my neck, literally began to choke me. And I can remember that I started passing out when one of the boys got scared and said to the other one, let him go, because, you know, I think they were getting the thrill of trying to kill somebody.
Wow.
You know, and the Lord showed me other things in my background where fear was grabbed hold of me. And this was the Lord putting his finger on it. And it just began to literally overwhelm me. And, you know, I tried to rebuke the word of God in the name of Jesus. Didn't work. Telling God, I can't do this. This is beyond me, and all of the excuses, but he wouldn't let me go. Everywhere I turned, I knew that I had to do. So,
yeah.
Did we still there, Mike?
We're here. I don't know what happened, but we're here. It could be some demonic attack or fear trying to cut through. Hey, Howard, let me just ask you this.
Yes.
What kind of person in your mind, or in the mind of most New Yorkers at rush hour, would be standing on a soapbox preaching on a street corner? I mean, what impression would that conjure up for people, or people in your neighborhood that may have known you?
Well, yeah, you know, they think you were lost your mind, you know, that you were crazy, you know, that every kind of negative thought that you could imagine that people would think about you.
Yeah.
And then exposing yourself to the ridicule and God knows what else, the physical violence, or, I mean, the fear that I had was that I was going to die, or that I was going to get beat up or attacked, or just my mind was running with all kinds of scenarios, you know. And this continued for the next number of months as I just tried to pray my way through it or get out of it. But I knew, and I want your listeners to understand this, I knew that I was at a crossroad and that if I was going to go forward in my walk of faith, I was going to have to deal with this fear. The Lord was taking me into, you know, verses in the book of Hebrews about if we shrink back, he has no pleasure in us. And it was a very, a severe love in making me face this life-controlling fear. And that's the thing about fear. It controls you. And I knew deeper than the fear, Mike, it was my desire to please the Lord and fulfill the will of God over my life. And I was at a crossroads for that.
All right, Howard, when we come back, I want to talk about how fear can control someone's life, the irrational nature of it, how it can control someone's life, and then we'll get to the victory God gave you. But tell our listeners what your website is and what they can expect when they go there.
Yeah, you can either go to howardmorganministries.com or our initials, HMMIN.com. On the left side is a list of links. The bottom is free articles. There's the media catalog where there's all kinds of CDs and some DVDs that are available for folks to purchase.
All right. Well, and what type of teaching resources have you put together that folks can purchase?
There's teachings on Jewish roots, on the kingdom of God, on discipleship, on spiritual growth. There's literally hundreds of hundreds of messages there and free articles that I've written relative to, again, like on prayer and Jewish roots and being a disciple and Kingdom of God issues. There's just a bunch of things there.
All right, awesome. So, friends, visit howardmorganministries.com, and we'll be back. I want to talk through a little bit more with my guest, Howie Morgan. I want to talk through this issue of how fear can control, even when you're doing things that are unrelated to that area of fear, how the thing can grip you, how it can terrorize you, how it can paralyze you, and how there can be true and lasting victory. This is a battle that went on in Howie's life for months, and a battle that was won for decades.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My special guest, not just for this hour, but for 2 hours, Dr. Howard Morgan. We're talking first about how God helped him to deal with and overcome fear, gripping fear, paralyzing fear. Went back to roots in his own life where there had been fearful experiences. I'm eager to hear the outcome here. We'll be making the CD available to you, be able to purchase that as a special resource for your gift to the ministry. His website, howardmorganministries.com, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, if you've got a question for Howie or for me today. All right, Howie, let's talk for a moment about this issue of how fear can paralyze, how it can terrorize you. And even if you're just maybe sitting in your home and everything is fine and normal, this fear can hit you. And it's tough to deal with it just mentally because it's not rational.
Right. Exactly. And I began to understand on a very profound level the supernatural nature of this. And as I was making decisions, and this is a very important point, you have to make a decision that this fear is not going to control your life. The picture that I began to get in my heart was like, you know, out of a cowboy movie in the Wild West where the good guy and the bad guy were facing off, and the good guy would say to the bad guy, "This town is not big enough for the both of us, and I'm not leaving." And I made a decision that said to the fear, "You're not going to control me." But it still was there. It still was there. In fact, there were times that I was so paralyzed. Literally, I was on the floor, couldn't move. And my wife, bless her, my daughter Brianna was a baby at the time. Janice said, "Well, I'll put the baby in the stroller and I'll stand next to you. At least one person will be there listening to you." And I thanked her for it. But this was so deep within me that it didn't matter. And what happened, Mike, is that as the months went by and the seasons changed, we're now in June. This started in December, and I was walking around the block where I was living trying to figure out, and I couldn't do it intellectually. I was trying to grab hold of God to enable me to obey God, if that's clear, that the Holy Spirit would come to me in such a way that would empower me to obey what the Father was telling me to do. And I'm walking around the block, and on the third lap, sitting in front of my house, which wasn't there a few minutes ago, was a little wooden box. I don't know how the box got there.
You're serious?
Yeah, it was sitting there. I stood there. I so clearly remember sitting there with my jaw open. Right in front of my house is a wooden box. And then I started to laugh because I knew that I was coming close to the crossroads, that I was going to have to do this. There was no way to get around it, that the only way I was going to defeat this was by doing it. And then, you know, in my own silliness, I took the box and spray painted it. I figured if I'm going to die on this, it should at least look nice. And I was taught by a guy who has been a street preacher some time, I don't know if it's true or not, he said to me that in America, you can preach anything you want on the streets except the violent overthrow of the government. You can preach the overthrow of the government, just not the violent overthrow of the government. As long as you're standing underneath an American flag, you can preach anything. So I built a little stand, attached it to the box, and so I had my American flag, and I knew that I was coming to the place that I had to face this. And when I was building that box, painting it, I felt literally that I was building my own gallows, that I
really
was going to die.
Wow.
And the day came that I knew that I had to do it. And that entire day, the anxiety level and the fear was so intense. And I was looking at my watch, looking at the minutes, counting down the minutes, like, you know, being taken to the death chamber, if you
right
will. And in fact, and I want our viewers to understand this, there is a death to self that is necessary to overcome fear. Because what fear wants you to do is survive. God calls us to the cross to die to ourselves so that he can give us a new life. Now, I didn't know that then, but I mean, I knew about it because I had understood some of the things about the cross, but I was entering into it in the realm of the spirit at that moment. And I remember that I packed everything into my little car. I drove to crowded Kings Highway, and there was a parking spot where you never find a parking spot.
Understood.
I pulled in. There was money on the meter. I didn't have to put any money in. I went, put the box on the street, stood up, and for the next half an hour just preached the message that God had given to me about how God loves us, Jesus died for our sins, and you can find a new life in faith in this Jesus. And people walked by looking at me. Two little old Jewish ladies walked by saying to one another, "Is he preaching? He's preaching." "No, he's not." "Yes, he is. Listen to him. He's preaching." And it just made me laugh. And another guy stopped and looked up at me and said, "You must be very brave." And I got off the box, chatted with him a little bit, said, "No, I don't think I'm very brave." And then two teenage girls stopped and paid attention. But basically the crowd just kept going by. And then about 6 o'clock, the Lord said to me, "Okay, come back tomorrow." I went home, woke up the next morning, and the fear was still there, but there was like a chunk taken out of it.
Yep.
So instead of being in super high anxiety where my heart rate was running all day, the fear, the cold sweats, the dry mouth, the knocked knees, you know, all of the physical manifestations of it, that was lessening, but I knew that I had to do it. And so again, 5:30 came. I drove to Kings Highway. This time I had to find a spot, put money in the meter myself, stood on the box, preached again, and then the Lord said, "Okay, come back tomorrow morning."
And Howie, I've got to jump in, but obviously the conquering of this giant unfolds right here.
Yes.
And even these key principles of there's not room in this town for both of us.
That's
the
right.
Decisions made, and then God's gracious help. Amazing.
Yes.
Hey, we've got a lot more to talk about. I want to talk with Howie about some good things and bad things in Jewish roots movement. I want to talk about the meaning of the kingdom of God, the meaning of the cross, some central things God's doing in the world today with my guest, Dr. Howard Morgan. His website, which I'm looking at right now, HowardMorganMinistries.com, HowardMorganMinistries.com. Go there, take advantage of the materials. And we have on CD, for your gift of $10 to help us with this radio outreach, for $10 we'll send you postage paid, his CD where he preaches the message on overcoming fear. So what you're hearing here and much, much more. Call the order. It'll bless you and many of your friends. 1-800-278-9978. Order multiple copies. You'll be blessed. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. You can only do this by phone. We don't have it online. 1-800-278-9978. The testimony of overcoming fear. The website, HowardMorganMinistries.com. Friends, there is victory for you in Jesus. You do not have to be terrorized or paralyzed. You can be free. Free.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am joined by a special guest today, Dr. Howard Morgan. He is one of the top Messianic Jewish teachers of the Word, a man of the Spirit that always stirs me and stirs our folks when we hear him minister to go deeper in God, to deal with the flesh, to be people who are really centered on Jesus and the cross, to be people who understand our Jewish roots as well. Howie had to deal firsthand with gripping, terrorizing fear, paralyzing fear when God spoke to him years back in New York City as a believer, about 8 years in the Lord, to stand on a soapbox and preach a busy area during rush hour. And when God spoke to him about those things, it triggered other fears when he was attacked as a boy and almost choked to death, and it stirred up other things. And God gave him grace to overcome this by obeying and by stepping into what he was supposed to do, and the giant was conquered. I want to talk to Howie about that some more and about a bunch of other issues of real importance to us as believers. You'll be edified. You'll be stirred as you listen. Here's the number to call if you have a question for Howie or for me, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. I want to talk about some Jewish roots issues in a moment, but Howie, with the things the Lord did in you as you obeyed, as he went before you and helped you, how did this touch on issues that got stirred up from your past when you realized that there was a fear or a terror? Many people have had a bad accident, or they're rape victims, or a family member was terribly injured, and that thing can just come back and grip them at any time, or if they get in a car again, that thing can grip them. Or how did the Lord help you deal with the past issues by dealing with the present? How did that work?
There's kind of a retroactive thing, is that you can't go back into the past, but you can deal with what's before you today and in the future. And what I was dealing with, and I didn't get to finish the last part of this.
Yes, please.
You know, so if that's okay, before
please
I answer this question, can I share what happened? Because I think it answers part of the question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that the next morning when I woke up, the fear was gone.
So this is morning number three now, the third straight day of preaching, right?
Yes, the third morning that I got up, it was gone. And I tried to trick myself by saying, at 5:30 you have to go and preach. And like I turned around like to see if it was lurking, and it was gone.
Wow.
You know, and I tried that all during the day. And the liberty that came, it was like, this is a normal day. I went shopping with my wife. I helped to run some errands, you know, all day, you know, whatever the events. And, when I looked at my watch, there was no fear. It was one of the most phenomenal days of my life.
Amazing.
Because the fear was gone. And I looked for it, Mike, if you can understand what I mean.
I understand.
I looked inside my soul. I looked in the atmosphere. I literally turned around, you know, physically to see if it was there. And it was gone. It was gone. And I got on the box. I preached the gospel. I was full of joy. I celebrated. I went and got a slice of pizza to celebrate my victory.
New York pizza. That's a celebration.
It is in Brooklyn. You know, this is really good pizza. And it was gone. And then the Lord said to me, okay, you don't have to do this again. But the freedom, for all of your listeners who are bound by fear, the enemy's has two lies that I learned. All fear is built on a lie. You have to expose the lie, and then the fear will die. The lie was that I was going to die, or something terrible was going to happen to me. I was going to get beat up. I was going to get attacked, or something. And I had to expose that lie.
Expose the lie. The lie was all right. I want to take another minute to talk about that when we come back, because that is profoundly important. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. A couple weeks back, I did a show talking about dealing with fear, overcoming fear, got some amazing phone calls, testimonies, and a few interesting things happened that I was walking through as well that were interesting and educational and enlightening and challenging for me too. And in the midst of this, got an email from Janet Morgan asking if I knew about her husband Howie's testimony of overcoming fear. In fact, that's the CD that we have available as a special resource today. We'll tell you about that later in the broadcast. And I wanted to get into this further. There's a lot more I want to talk with Howie Morgan about his website, howardmorganministries.com, howardmorganministries.com. If you've got a question for Howie or me, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I want to go back to this central point, the truth that you realized about overcoming fear, the lies behind it. If you could give us that saying again that rhymes, that'll stick in our head, and then expand on it a little bit more. We've got to understand this.
Yes, all fear is built on a lie. Expose the lie, and the fear will die. So when I learned that little truth, that fear was built on a lie, there are different ways to expose it. You expose it to God in prayer, to trusted friends, your spouse, even to the church. You know, depending on relationships to trusted people, but you're exposing the lie. Mm. And then there is the understanding, and this is really important. I didn't decide to go in my flesh or a good idea or a challenge from other people to go on that soapbox. I knew it was God calling me to do that. So I want to encourage our people, they can't just go willy-nilly kind of confronting things in their flesh. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit and instructed by the Lord in whatever he wants you to do, because he told me to do this because he knew this was the way that he could get to these roots in my life, bring them to the surface, and then deliver me from them. But I had to confront it. I had to realize these things were all lies. They were well-conceived, cleverly constructed lies, and the enemy is like that. He has all of these cunning, clever ways to try and stop us from fulfilling the call and the purposes of God for our life. And then I also understood that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the overcoming of fear by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I had to put myself in a place where the Holy Spirit, his power, could take me through it. Do you follow what I mean? I had to be willing to go to the cross, if you will. I had to be willing to pick up my cross, deny myself, and say to the Lord, if I die, I die like great Queen Esther. I'm going in because I wanted earnestly and deeply to do the will of God and fulfill what God called me when he called me and filled me with his love. And I knew that God loved me. I had already encounters with the Lord in which he poured his love physically, palpably into me. So I knew that this was not a mean, a sadistic being wanting to torment me. No, it was quite the opposite. It was his love that was saying, I want to get this out of you.
Yes.
And it's, if you will, a severe mercy, because it was so difficult. But the freedom, and I've been living from that day to this, I have not known a moment of fear. There are times when things would get me anxious and worried about this or that, but that fear, it's gone. That's why I've been able to do the things in ministry that I've been able to do, because fear, it doesn't have a place in me, because I was delivered from it. And I'm. Why would I lie? I'm telling everybody the truth. I have not had a moment of fear since then.
Amazing.
Because it's gone, and it stayed gone, because I continue to try and do the will of God.
And Howie, for those that didn't catch some of the earlier talk, driving in their car and they're just flipping on the radio now.
Sure.
The fear was so paralyzing for you during those months. You said you're actually sometimes just laying on the floor at your home, couldn't even do anything. You were so overcome by it.
Yeah, there were times when the irrationality, as we said before, was so intense. I literally was laid on the ground and I was virtually paralyzed. I can remember those moments. And, you know, that this thing was so deep inside of me and so overwhelming for me that I physically couldn't move. And I would cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. But then something would rise up inside of me because the parallel in the positive of the oppression of the fear was something in me choosing the will of God, choosing Him, choosing Jesus, choosing His plans, His will for my life. I didn't want to let the fear control me. I wanted to let the will of God determine my destiny. And that was what propelled me forward. My heart, Mike, was being tested. God was giving me the choice. Howie, what do you want for your life? Do you want my will? Will you follow me? Or do you want something else? And I had to choose that. And I know, you know, pastoring and being with, you know, all the people that we've met over the years, there are many people who find that the value of knowing Jesus is not worth the cost of following Him. And they turn back. They want an easier life. They want another life. They want a life of the flesh. They want a life of materialism. You know, they want a life of lust or greed or money or whatever. And the cares and worries, as Jesus taught in the parable of the seed in the field, you know, it grabbed them. But I wanted to have a good heart. I remember when, after I met the Lord, praying the first time I was reading that parable, I said, Lord, give me a good heart that the seed you planted in me would find good soil. And my heart was being tested because there were weeds in my heart that wanted to hold me back. But I was choosing the kingdom of God, the will of God, and I wanted to die knowing that when I look back at that moment of my death, that I did what God had laid out for me to do. That was one of the primary motivations and goals of my entire life and remains so to this day. And that was one of the anchors of my soul. It's like the house built upon the rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the roots of my soul had gone in those 6 years of trying to obey the Lord around the rock. And the enemy was trying to rip those roots out, but they were around the rock because I had chosen. At different times in previous battles in those 6 years, I had chosen, yes, Lord, I'll do your will. Yes, Lord, I won't continue a career in graduate school. Yes, Lord, I ended up in the paint store. Yes, Lord, I'll become a pastor. Yes, Lord, I'll turn away from all those sins. You know, all those other times previous to this of saying yes had prepared me to this new battle of saying yes. And because my motive and heart was for Him, that I wanted to please Him and I wanted to stand before Him on the great day and hear Him say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Being faithful was like a primary motive for me. And, you know, that's when I, you know, the analogy of the cowboy came to me. And I stood up and I said to that darkness, no, you're not going to control my life. And then then the soapbox showed up, and that was like a mind blower that it was sitting in front of my house.
Yeah, that's God, you know, that's the thing about God's goodness and grace. He reaches down to where we are. As much as He calls us to be courageous and to be soldiers, He's still very compassionate, and He knows exactly who we are. And the one little push, the one little thing to help us overcome. Hey, Howie, we've got 1 minute. Why do you think God told Joshua so many times in Joshua 1, don't fear, don't fear, be strong? Do you think Joshua had some fears to overcome?
Oh, my gosh, of course he did. That's why God kept telling him, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. In fact, I read one Bible commentary somewhere, Mike, that said, it says 365 times in the Bible, don't be afraid, one for every day of the year.
Yeah.
Because it's in our natural fallen state, there's lots of things to be afraid of. But we have another source of life in the Holy Spirit who enables us to overcome the fear. It's not that you won't be afraid, but you'll overcome the fear. And I overcame my fear. That's why that thing which defined me or sought to define me no longer has that influence in my life. It could. I could let it come back, but I fight against it and say, no, I got a spiritual space around me that's free from fear, and I'm keeping that.
Awesome.
You know, that's part of my personal battle. But we have to have that attitude that says no, because we have a loving Father who's teaching us and training us, and that's what life on earth is about. It's about, that's what discipling is, and discipleship. It's about being taught and trained how to rule and reign. That's, you know, one of the reasons we're in this world with sin and suffering and all the crazy mishigas that goes on, is because God is wanting to train us, because this is his heart for
us. Yeah, and this is the one unique opportunity we have, not just to serve him, but to grow and to experience this challenge together with the Lord. Back with Howie Morgan, his website, howardmorganministries.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. My guest, Messianic Jewish teacher, Howie Morgan. And he'll be with me the next hour as well. I'm thrilled he's had the time to join me together. Next hour, for those going to be listening or catching the broadcast later online, we're going to talk about some Jewish roots issues, some good things, some abuses, talk about the kingdom of God, the cross, how he's got tremendous insight into those things. His website, howardmorganministries.com, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question that's relevant, we've had folks calling in, but the questions have been too off topic. That's why we're just focusing in on the interview and no callers so far. But if you've got a relevant question, we're happy to take it. All right, Howie, when you minister, you're always bringing something rich, insightful from the Word, but there's a practical outcome for it. It's not just abstract truth and we leave with our heads filled. We leave with our hearts challenged also. I wonder if you could talk to our listeners who are literally being held hostage by fear. I mean, you know exactly what that means.
Oh, yeah.
And there are areas in their lives where they just feel paralyzed and unable to obey because they're being held hostage. Just speak straight to our listeners for a little while.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we have to realize, Dr. Brown, is that sin, that fear is a sin, and that we have to begin to deal with it as sin and understand that God has a way of forgiving our sins and giving us the gift of repentance. This is a very powerful understanding that God has given us a gift of repentance.
All right, well, hang on. Let me just interrupt you. You're saying that to fear, that if I fear, oh no, we're going to get killed with the next tornado. Oh, I can't go on the mission field because God won't supply. You're saying that when I give way to that, not just get attacked with it, but when I give in to that fear, that's actually sin?
Yeah, it separates us from God, which is what the power of sin does. It separates us from God because this kind of emotional, psychological way of thinking separates us from God. It becomes sin, and now I have another problem. So I have to turn to God, crying for help, deliver me from the sin of fear. And this power, you see, if we put it in this context, it doesn't make it worse for us. It actually helps us because then we can turn to God with the gift of repentance. And he is then able to do a deep work in us so that the sin of fear, we can be delivered from it because he delivers us from all kinds of sins. Is that clear? I'm wanting...
Yeah,
I
believe that's clear. So when I give place to this thing, then I am not trusting...
Right.
And that there's something wrong there, even if I feel unable to overcome it, even if I'm not consciously giving way to it. I understand it's separating me from God. I understand I need his gracious intervention.
Right.
And that somehow giving way to a cowardly spirit
is
a serious issue. So just like Murray says with prayerlessness, if you confess it as a sin, then there is help and grace to overcome.
Exactly. So when I got the revelation, the insight that this was actually a sin, I could deal with it as sin. It wasn't just an emotional or a psychological weakness. It was a spiritual reality. And I could turn to God and say, God, I don't want this in my life. I don't want this to control me. I don't want this to influence me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And repentance is like a drill bit. Here, let me give another practical analogy that I realized that from my background, you talked, you know, before about people with, you know, traumatic experiences and things that happen, is that these things, these thoughts and feelings that get connected to our traumas, they're like dirt that gets thrown into the well of salvation that's in our spirit. And so if we keep throwing dirt into that well of salvation, the sin, the unbelief, the negative thoughts, the negative attitudes, the negative words, that's like dirt being thrown into our well. And the heat of the day, the sun is always shining on the earth, the heat of the day turns the now muddy water into clay, and then it gets harder and even becomes granite. People's mm-hmm. hearts get hardened, and they completely throw away their faith, or they walk away, or they get disgusted, or they get overwhelmed, because their hearts get hard. And what I discovered is that as I turned to the Lord, the gift of repentance was like this powerful diamond-studded drill bit that could drill through the hard parts of my heart and get the water rushing again. And when the water of the Spirit of God starts to rush through you, and that's what this is about. This is about, you know, encountering the real God. This is not about intellectualism or philosophy or theology or ethics or morality or anything like that. This is about encountering the living God. Yep. If I hadn't encountered him on that subway, who knows what? If I, you know, all the events that I had before the Lord called me to preach on the street, you know, the times when I encountered, this, I want to underline this word for our people, if I didn't encounter him and his love, we wouldn't be having this conversation. God knows where I would be, or you or any of our listeners, yeah. And everybody in the Bible.
So what happens is and as we, so even bottom line, this is, as
yeah,
we're,
sure.
we're out of time in the, in right. this, in this first hour, what happens is that when we turn, when we cry out, Lord, I need your help, I need your grace, and he shows us steps we can take, that repentance, like a drill bit, like Howie said, penetrates, goes down deep, and God himself gets involved. It's not just a matter of us pulling up ourselves by our own bootstraps. God himself will get involved. If you will do what Howie said and expose the lie, the fear will die. Ask yourself, what is at the root of this? What's the lie behind the things trying to attack me, drag me down, paralyze me? Expose that lie, the fear will die, and then take the steps you know to take, and there will be that divine intervention. I am thrilled that I've got an hour more to talk to Howie. Oh, I got a bunch of controversial issues I want to bring up. But friends, get hold of his teaching CD, In Depth, where he goes through his own experience, battling with fear for months in New York City, how God gave him grace to overcome it, and principles by which all of us can overcome fear. Some of you are held hostage by fear, and you're a fraction of what God's called you to be. He wants you to be free, obedient, bearing much fruit. So your gift of just $10 to help us with this radio outreach, we will send you the CD, Overcoming Fear, by Dr. Howard Morgan. Call today to order. That's postage paid, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, because you can't order this online. It's just a special offer over the radio here. 1-800-278-9978. For lots of other ministry resources by Dr. Morgan, go to howardmorganministries.com. That's howardmorganministries.com. And you will be blessed, and you will be enriched. For my bottom line today, I want to quote the words of my friend, Dr. Howard Morgan. When you're dealing with fear, when you're paralyzed by fear, when you're held hostage by fear, expose the lie and the fear will die. Expose the lie and the fear will die. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. You'll be my disciples indeed. Truth will set you free. I'm I'm about to interview one of the leading Messianic Jewish teachers in the land. Your eyes will be opened. Your heart will be stirred.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I say it's time to stir up a little controversy here on The Line of Fire, touch on some hot-button issues. I've got a special guest with me this entire hour, and, hey, he can hang up the phone when he's done and walk away from it. I'll deal with the controversy afterwards. So here we go. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call to join the discussion, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. My guest, Dr. Howard Morgan, his website, HowardMorganMinistries.com. In fact, for everyone listening in Atlanta, he is based in Atlanta, and I see he's got a conference coming up next month. We can talk about that a little later in the show. Hey, Howie, thanks for being with us. Are you ready to join in a little controversy here?
Sure.
All right. Now here's the deal. We don't mention names on the broadcast in terms of, you know, teachers we disagree with or flaky things we've heard, unless it's something public that someone said that's we're being asked about, you know, it's a YouTube video or a quote on some TV show, something like that. But this also gives us more freedom to speak about a wide range of issues. Right. And in this opening segment here, I want to talk a little bit in this next half hour about some Jewish roots issues. We bring it up from time to time on the air, some healthy things, some unhealthy things, some things we call mishugas, craziness. But first, I'm scheduled to speak tomorrow night at University of South Florida in Tampa on Israelis, Palestinians. They have an apartheid week that comes up in a couple of weeks where they bash Israel. And there was no one that was willing to debate me, so I'm just going to do a lecture with open mic Q&A. But we're Jewish people. We know that Jews are far from perfect. We know that not everybody gets along with Jews. Like, okay, we understand that every group, every person has weaknesses. But is there a supernatural spirit of anti-Semitism? Is there some kind of Jew hatred that's present in society and even present sometimes in different forms in the church?
Oh, yes, no doubt. No doubt. In fact, the other side of the coin of the spirit of anti-Semitism is actually the spirit of Antichrist, because the spirit that seeks to alienate the Jews from the Lord Jesus, the spirit that seeks to persecute the Jews in the name of Jesus, and the spirit that seeks to murder Jews, is all about stopping the prophetic purposes of God revealed in the pages of the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament as well from coming to pass. Because everything about the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Jewish Messiah, had to do with the Jewish people the first time, and has to do with the Jewish people ultimately in the end of the age, in the regathering of the Jews, and the fulfillment of everything the prophets have spoken. Peter said that Jesus was being held in heaven until the time for the restoration of all the things the prophets have said. Mm. When the enemy heard that, he understood more of the plan than he did before, and what now he's thinking, if I can stop the words of the prophets from being fulfilled, I can stop Jesus from returning, because we know what the scripture teaches us will happen to the devil when Jesus returns. He's bound for 1,000 years and then ultimately thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. That is not anything he's looking forward to. Remember, the demons cried out to Jesus, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They knew that. And the plan of what I understand about anti-Semitism and my studies and the things the Lord has had me do relating to the Holocaust and traveling in Eastern Europe and speaking in various places is understanding that this spirit is really the spirit of Antichrist, wanting to stop, if by any means he can, the plans of God and the return of Jesus.
All right, so two sides of the same coin, spirit of anti-Semitism on one side, spirit of Antichrist on the other. A lot more to talk about. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Remember, everyone listening in the greater Tampa area, you can join me Thursday night at the University of South Florida for the lecture with open mic Q&A. It could be a very interesting atmosphere as we talk about Israel there on the campus. So by all means, get out if you can. The information, specific location, is on my website, AskDrBrown.org. And then remember, Saturday afternoon, 3 to 5 in the afternoon, this coming Saturday at the Hilton Tampa Airport West Shore. It's the hotel there. 3 to 5 in the afternoon, we'll be doing a meet and greet, just a personal time with listeners. We're not looking for hundreds of people. That's why we just have a room there to meet you. So a great face-to-face time. You'll be encouraged, edified, challenged, I believe. And we'll even have an Ask Dr. Brown. You've got questions, we've got answers time as well. You can just show up or you can call to let us know you're coming. 813-639-1903. Be great if you let us know that you're coming. 813-639-1903. Bring your friends along, and we'll have a great time together. My guest on the broadcast today, Dr. Howard Morgan. His website, howardmorganministries.com, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be going to the phones shortly. Howie, let's dive right in here.
Okay.
You've taught Jewish roots. You've taught restoration of Jewish roots for believers for years now.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the mishugas, some of the craziness, some of the weird things that Jews and Gentiles do these days in the name of Jewish roots. Like I said, you hang up the phone when you're done with this interview, and I have to deal with the flack. So speak your mind freely, buddy.
Okay, so I'm not sure. Are you wanting to talk about specific things? Or are you asking me to talk about my experiences? Where are we going now?
Well, just things you've seen, things you've observed, things that
people do in the name
of Jewish roots.
Yeah, well, I think that there's the class of people we call wannabes.
Uh-huh.
Who choose artificially Jewish identities that are built around modern-day Judaism and Jewish traditions that are not built around the Scripture. And we've discovered that these are simply people who do not know their identity in the Messiah. They don't know who they are in the Spirit. And they're looking for a place in the world. So they take on, you know, what they think are Jewish names or some kind of external that they think now gives them a spiritual identity. And the tragic thing about that is that they're missing who God really has called them to be in their spirit. And this is one of the things that happens generally when people take on, external identities, you know. And when we talk about Jewish roots, we're talking about God's prophetic purposes that he has assigned into the earth when he called Abraham and his descendants, made his covenant with them, sent Jesus as the Messiah of the Jews to open the kingdom to the nations of the earth. That's one of the major things that we've seen. And the people take on these externals.
Yeah, so a key thing is to know that our identity is in Jesus,
right,
not primarily being Gentile or Jewish.
Right.
And what about people feeling that if they're going to truly follow Jesus, that they need to embrace all of the commandments of the Torah, since Jesus didn't come to destroy but to fulfill?
Yes.
Do you think that could be a direction going backwards instead of forwards, or is that a healthy mentality?
Well, no, I think we have to be really careful about this, because people then get involved in things like spiritual pride, where they look down on other people. And, you know, the real crux of this issue, there's two things here where we talk about people being, say, Torah observant. And when people tell me that they are, I say to them, well, you're actually not observing the Torah the way it's written, because you cannot do that. For example, people who say, you know, that they observe the Sabbath, and I'm thinking, okay, you observe the way you think you should observe the Sabbath, because if you observed it the way the Torah teaches, you'd have to kill people who don't observe the Torah, because it was a capital crime to break the Sabbath.
Right.
So we see people getting wrong understandings of their relationship to the Torah, when we have to look at it by the power of the Holy Spirit. How is he leading you to live your life? For example, I know a man who had a business. His business was failing. God said to him, close your business on Saturday, honor the Sabbath. Because he heard a word from the Lord, he closed his business on Saturday, opened it on Sunday. It was a retail business. Things started to really blossom because he obeyed what God told him to do. So we have people taking on externals rather than really being led by the Spirit. And this is my passion when we're talking to these people, is what is the word of the Lord to you, and what are you doing about it? So then we go back to the Torah, which means instruction, as many of your listeners know, and we get instruction. And what is the instruction that all supposed to do? The great revelation, one of them that Paul had, was be a schoolmaster to bring us into an intimate relationship with who Jesus really is. And another thing that really grieves me is when we get into some of these situations, we see people glorifying the Torah and minimizing Jesus, when
yes.
it's Jesus who brought them into the kingdom, and then they minimize him. Then they start disregarding Paul. Then they start disregarding the New Testament.
Yep.
Then they end up denying Jesus. We've seen that happen tragically in some lives.
Same here.
You know, it's been heartbreaking for us. They started in the Spirit, ended up in the flesh, rejecting the one who saved them, who brought them to God in the first place. Is that clear?
Yeah, it's exactly what we've seen happen. And let's make this clear. When the displacing of Jesus Yeshua with Torah takes place, what happens is that whenever Jesus is emphasized, whenever he's exalted, whenever the New Testament speaks of them, they say, well, that's Torah. That's all Torah. In other words, they're not saying that they're displacing him. They're saying, yes, his being highly exalted means Torah being highly exalted, because he's the Word made flesh. And then instead of the whole emphasis being on his sacrificial death, it becomes an emphasis on commandment keeping, whereas commandment keeping is just a natural fruit of walking in love and walking in the Spirit. We by nature now keep the commandments of God, as Paul lays out. So it's the Word and the Spirit in harmony. But that displacing takes place, and then, like you say, they start to question Paul, they start to deny the deity of Yeshua, they even start to question parts of the Gospels, and then it can end up in a complete backsliding and apostatizing. Hey, I want to grab a call that's relevant. Kim in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. I've often wondered why the Jewish nation was chosen by God to be his chosen people. Is there an explanation in the Bible for that?
All right, go ahead, Howie.
Well, I think this is part of the sovereignty of God, that he found in Abraham a man after his heart, a man who would obey him, and then tested and challenged him, and then made covenant promises. And, you know, and God said to the nation of Israel, I didn't choose you because you were many. You know, but they're or the best or whatever. God chose them because he chose them sovereignly. And I think, Kim, this is why God chose you, because he's sovereign in who he calls to himself. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, and I looked at all my friends and so many of the people that I knew that were turning away and mocking me and, you know, blaspheming Jesus and God, and thinking, why are they responding to what I'm saying, when I responded so differently? And I realized, you know, the grace of God was calling me. The grace of God called the Jewish people. And I just understand this, Mike, in terms of the sovereignty of God.
And in that 1 minute, Howie, God chose the Jewish people for what purpose?
Well, to be a light to the nations, to be the carrier of his word, and to be salt and light. And Jesus opened that covenant to the nations, to those who could be grafted in. That's the whole revelation of Romans 11, that we're all part of this one new man, this one community of faith that is supposed to be light and salt in the earth, witnessing to this God who saved us and brought us to himself.
And Howie, you have a conference that is about to take place next month. It's
yes.
called Panim El Panim. We've just got about 45 seconds before the break, but
sure.
Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, it's not a conference. It's a prophetic gathering. We don't have any guest speakers. We just welcome the Holy Spirit. We worship until the anointing to worship lifts, and we let the Holy Spirit take over. And we just endeavor to create an environment that allows people to meet panim el panim, face-to-face, as much as we can with the Lord and with one another, to create a dynamic where the Holy Spirit is free to move, and people are welcome. Go to the website, register. Space is limited, so if you want to come and enjoy a weekend, perhaps like you've never had before, people have had their lives changed in the 10 years we've been doing this.
All right, so this friends, is April 27th to 29th. It's for those that would be oriented towards these encounters with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. HowardMorganMinistries.com. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. My special guest all of last hour and all of this hour, Dr. Howard Morgan, his website, howardmorganministries.com. 866-34-TRUTH. If you've got a question for Howie or for me, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Howie, let's talk about positive reconnecting with Jewish roots. If it does not mean that Gentiles or even just all Jews just somehow take on a special Jewish identity or some artificial type of identity or putting on garments or using certain terms or words as if, not that those things are always wrong, but as if that somehow deepens our spirituality. What does it mean for the church to connect to its Jewish roots? And a related major question, what has happened in history when the church has disconnected from its Jewish roots?
These are really very, very important questions. And people go to my website. I've written about some of these things. You know, why is it important to study our Jewish roots and this nature? And I think what we have to do is understand where the word Jewish roots comes from and go back to Romans 11. Because this is really where we begin to get insight from the Apostle Paul and the fact of the two things that go that answer your questions about the positive nature and the ramifications of rejecting those roots. Because Paul addresses them there, and he talks about God's prophetic purposes. Point number one, when we connect to our Jewish roots, we're reconnecting with God's prophetic purposes. Point number two, when we connect to our Jewish roots, Paul writes about the richness of the roots of the olive tree, the anointing that begins to flow in us. This is our life in the Spirit, our relationship with the living God, our encounter with God that empowers us to be disciples, to learn and change and grow, to have that relationship with God so that we're thinking, to use a phrase Hebraically. Because when the church rejected those roots, and Paul said, if you get arrogant towards the Jewish people, because you've been grafted in among them, if you get arrogant towards them, you will be cut off. This is what happened, Dr. Brown. They got cut off, and the church went into this Greco-Roman world where they were influenced by pagan beliefs and Greco-Roman philosophy and governmental structures, and we have the creation of an aberration that has been called Christianity, and all mixed up in that are spiritual dynamics that keep people away from their relationship with God, and that is the tactic of the enemy. Always going back to the temptation in the Garden of Eden is keeping people away from that relationship with God. But when we get connected to our roots and that anointing starts to flow, we start thinking in terms of being a disciple. We start thinking in terms of prayer that works because we're hearing from God. We're not just asking God for things to make our life better. That anointing starts to flow in us, and you're not thinking about having a better life. You're thinking about having a fruitful life. You're thinking about having a life of obedience and bearing fruit for God. Why do you start thinking that? Because that anointing starts to flow in you, and it changes you because you're having an encounter with God. And that this, to me, is the essence of what the root, we talk about Jewish roots because God made this covenant with the nation of Israel. gave them his Torah, which is a revelation of who he is as the creator, as the redeemer, as the forgiver, and all the whole thing that we learn in the sacrificial system and the words of the prophets that instruct us in the way in which we should live in a relationship with God. That's not the way that we live naturally. There's a thousand different ways to do that. But if you want to live as a disciple in a relationship with God, then this whole world that we are born again into, transferred, as it says in Colossians 1, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. God established a kingdom. He wanted to, and he still does, establish a kingdom in the earth. So the Jewish people became what? A kingdom, a nation of priests and kings representing a kingdom. This was to be God's people. This is how God, the nation of Israel, and answering to the last caller, you know, to be this demonstration of the kingdom of God on earth, which is what the authentic body of Christ is supposed to be. And when we cut off from those roots, we're influenced by paganism, syncretism, philosophies of men, humanistic ways of thinking. We're influenced by Roman government. So Caesar rules from the top down, and we have tyrants running congregations and cults, kind of personality cults developing, rather than the authority that Jesus gives us to raise people up. And that's the authority of the apostles and prophets and all fivefold ministries, to come under people and raise them up, equip them to fulfill what God has called them to do. So in a nutshell, that I hope I'm answering your question.
I'm sitting here just listening. Normally I jump in more. I'm sitting here with a smile listening. And in fact, I want to move from here into the next half hour and delve more into the meaning of the kingdom of God. In fact, I'm looking right now at your book, Leaves from the Olive Tree, an anthology of kingdom perspectives. Hey, just take 30 seconds and tell our listeners what they can get out of that book.
Yeah, they're just short vignettes on teachings about, like, you know, the kingdom of God, biblical relationships, what church should be like, what Jewish roots is all about. In my heart was just to put a gathering of different things that I've written and put it together. And they can get it. They can order it from our ministry and go to our website, howardmorganministries.com. See it, Leaves from the Olive Tree. And just a bunch of different teachings. And I just got a wonderful email from a lady who got it, and she was saying, you know, she was crying as she was reading it. It so blessed me to read that, because it's touching people, and so we're so pleased.
And you know, Howie, this generation is a soundbite generation, but what you've got the ability to do is, by God's grace, is put these short, pithy sayings together in paragraphs and single lines that have tremendous depth, but that are digestible. So it's been very enjoyable to go through the book. You can get it online, Leaves from the Olive Tree, Howie's website, howardmorganministries.com. He'll be with me for the next hour. I want to talk about the kingdom of God and the cross. Oh, yeah. Remember to be praying tomorrow night, Thursday night at University of South Florida, as I give a lecture on Israel and the Palestinians that could be quite controversial. And then Saturday afternoon at the Hilton Tampa Airport West Shore Hotel, 3 to 5 in the afternoon, meet and greet time. I'm doing it just for listeners. That's who it's for. And staying in town through that afternoon specifically to do that after other ministry at the Shoresh David Messianic Congregation. So please join me there. Last hour we talked about amazing testimony of overcoming fear, paralyzing fear, that Howie had to deal with, and how God gave him principles, steps of obedience, grace at work to set him free from fear. We have the CD especially available through our ministry today. Call to order. It's just $10 postage paid, and you're helping us with this radio outreach. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, the Overcoming Fear CD by Howie. Not just a testimony, but a how-to. 1-800-278-9978. Order multiple copies for friends that are in need. We'll be back.
Came to the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm used to taking all types of difficult, advanced questions, challenging questions. In fact, I love it. I thrive in that kind of environment. And then sometimes a child will ask me a question, and that's a tougher one. Or someone will ask me a question about fundamentals, foundational things, and I think, well, okay, I've got to boil that down and be able to answer that simply and clearly and with spiritual depth. And I want to do that now with my guest, Dr. Howard Morgan, in this next half hour, and talk about some of the most foundationally important spiritual truths in the New Testament. Some of the most foundationally important spiritual truths for our own lives, for practical living. And perhaps you'll get some insight in these things beyond what you've had before. If you've got a question, I may be able to squeeze a call or two in, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But when I have a special guest, I tend to hog the time, most of the time, for the interviews. Online, askdrbrown.org. Howie Morgan's website, howardmorganministries.com. All right, Howie, we're going to make this as meat and potatoes in the best sense of the word for those that are health conscious. It's just a figure of speech. We are going to make this the most in-depth we possibly can and worthy of people really chewing on. And, Howie, these are things that you've ministered richly to our congregation when you've spoken for us. So let's talk about kingdom of God. Let's talk about the cross. Maybe even some issues of dealing with sinful nature. Do we still have to deal with that as believers? So, Howie, what in the world is the kingdom of God? Jesus talked about it all the time. What in the world is it?
Right. I think that, you know, this is really a very important concept for us to understand. Let me begin by saying this, Mike, to your listeners. Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, did not come into the world to start a new Gentile religion called Christianity. Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, came into the world to open the kingdom of God to the nations of the earth. Everything Jesus talked about and taught about was about the kingdom of God. This spiritual realm of relationship and encounter with the living God in which we live and move and have our being, this Holy Spirit sent to be our teacher and guide to instruct us as disciples in the kingdom. I believe it's Matthew 13 where Jesus said, every scribe, every student of the scripture who is well-versed in the scripture is like, every scribe, every student of the scripture who becomes, key word here, a disciple of the kingdom is like a man who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So that's the Hebrew scriptures, the New Covenant scriptures, and our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, these treasures of riches from our past, things that we bring to our present, things we're going to learn. So there, the kingdom of God, in essence, is a supernatural realm that you are born again into. In Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, you can't even see it, let alone enter into it, unless you are born of the Holy Spirit. That's why, and I know you've had these experiences in your own life, talking to Jewish people about Jesus, and they look at you like you're crazy, because as Paul said, the things of the spiritual realm are foolishness to the natural mind. And the only way you can begin to know the Lord, really know the Lord, have an experience and encounter with him, is if your spirit is birthed, if you are spiritually birthed into another realm of reality, that is the kingdom of God. It is that realm of reality in which you are in a living relationship with God. You're talking to him, he's talking to you. He's teaching you, he's opening the scriptures to you. He's leading you in the daily affairs and the practicalities, the nitty-gritty of your life, causing you to meet people, causing them to meet you, divine appointments.
All right, I got to jump in while you're on a roll there. God ruling and reigning in our lives, actively working in our lives, walking out the kingdom together. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we get a lot of opposition here at The Line of Fire. A lot of people try to oppose what we're doing and stifle my voice. And my office was just invaded by two small human beings. Well, I mean, small compared to me, 6'3", trying to shut down, told me they did not want me doing this interview. And I said, sorry, God has called me to be on radio, so I'm going to be on the radio. So sorry to my two grandkids that walked in and wanted to hang out or maybe go get a meal. It's going to have to wait. The interview comes, and that is the final word. 866-34-TRUTH, my guest, Dr. Howie Morgan, his website, howardmorganministries.com. Howie, thanks for, yeah, for taking so much time out of the day to be with us today. We often think of the cross primarily in terms of the cross of Jesus, which is central to everything, and him dying on the cross, rising for us, and of course, without that, there is no life, there is no forgiveness, there's no relationship with God. We can never in a trillion years downplay the importance of that.
Amen.
But we can downplay the importance of the cross in our own lives.
Yes.
What is this, something morbid, Howie, that you're happy out of the cross, pick up the cross? or is it something irrelevant? I've heard some people say you take up the cross, you get saved, and you resurrect, and you don't have to take up the cross the rest of your life believing. I mean, what's the scripture about this? What does it mean?
If we go to Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, and let me encourage your listeners to go back to those chapters if they haven't read them for a while. And I had an encounter in a meeting as a new believer. I had I won't go into the details because of time, but I had a vision in this meeting in which the Lord showed me the cross, like suspended in the air, and I saw, like, behind it, this light, and I heard the Lord say to me, Howie, don't be afraid of the cross. The cross is the place of exchange. It is the place where you give me your life and I give you mine. Don't be afraid of it. So when the master is telling us if we want to be his disciples, that is his students in his school of the Spirit, if you will, the entrance exam to become his disciple is, he said, you can't be my disciple if you don't pick up your cross and learn how to deny yourself. Because if we don't learn how to deny ourselves on a daily basis, he can't teach us, because our self-life will always be in front of us, influencing, controlling us, demanding that we please it. We have to take our self-life to the place of exchange and say, Lord, here's my lust, here's my anger, here's my greed, here's my unbelief, here's my fear, here's my whatever, all of our negativity, all of our junk, we bring it to the cross, and it's the place of exchange. There it goes onto his body, and in replacement of all of our negativity, he gives us his grace, his love, his mercy, his kindness, his faith that can move mountains and heal the sick and raise the dead. His faith is given to us, and so the cross is something that we embrace all the time as we learn as a disciple. And as we grow as a disciple, it becomes one of the most precious things in our life. We embrace it. We hold it, because it's that place of exchange where I can get what I need and find the mercy and the forgiveness and the Holy Spirit coming in and loving me, embracing me, and giving me what I need for the daily battles of life.
All right. So we get saved. We are born from above. We are now in spiritual communion with the Father. Our spirits are literally renewed, born from above, regenerated, whatever term someone wants to put on it.
Right.
Do we still have a sinful nature to deal with? Is it just the flesh?
In that human body, that flesh is going to want to tell you what to do. That self that is still on the throne is still going to want to direct you. So we see.
Are there two people inside of us? What's going on?
Well, again, I think that, you know, this is what Romans 6, 7, and 8 is talking about. The end of Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't, I end up doing. You know, this internal dynamic of the old nature, that part of your soul that is not yet fully sanctified. That place of self that is still wanting to rule the show. This is the issues of discipleship, you know, that your listeners need to know about so they don't get discouraged, because there's no condemnation. That's what Romans 8:1 starts. Hey, listen, God isn't condemning us. He recognizes we're in this battle. Now come to the cross again. That's why the cross is central. We pick it up, we embrace it, we get that exchange going on, and little by little, I'm overcoming all of those areas of my life and proving to God that I'm faithful to him.
All right, so as I'm walking in the Lord,
yes,
got to deal with renewing the mind. There's still a physical body. There's still temptation.
Yes.
There's still attack from Satan.
Yes.
Can I really expect to live an overcoming life, or is that such some pipe dream that causes us to be condemned because, you know, we never get to this level we want to get to, and we're just being dragged down, or is there a life in God that can truly be called an overcoming life?
Yeah, well, let's look at this word. It's overcoming. The fact that every day you're overcoming, and that as you overcome areas of your life, you know, overcoming lust, or overcoming greed, or overcoming selfishness, or overcoming your impatience, and God is sanctifying you little by little, you are getting to the place where you have become an overcomer. That thing is no longer influencing you. You're influencing it. It no longer has control of you. You don't lose your temper the way you did. You know, the whole sexual temptation thing doesn't turn your head anymore, because that thing inside of you no longer has a control over you. You're little by little having the spirit of your mind renewed. You're casting down vain imaginations. You're being sanctified. You're being matured. You're growing as a disciple. You're bearing more fruit. So, yes, we can get to the place little by little. But because we're still bound by, the sinful nature, if you will, my flesh loves itself. You know, it loves the world, and it loves, you know, the things the devil operates. I have to go to the cross, and I have to speak to my flesh, cast down those vain imaginations, say, no, you're not going to control me. My spirit man is going to control me, because I want that spirit man in union and communion with God. I'm going to listen to him. That's where studying the Bible is so important, because where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. And people say, oh, the Bible, you know, it's all myths and fiction and, you know, nonsense. Those are lies from the enemy, because the devil knows the power of the Bible, that if you will study the Bible and read the Bible, it literally feeds your spirit. The word of God works in you who believe. It feeds your spirit and strengthens you. That's why the enemy fights even, you know, studying or reading the Bible the way he does, because he knows the power in it to strengthen your spirit as you endeavor, testing the integrity of your heart, endeavoring to be a faithful disciple and a maturing disciple.
All right. You in the first hour, told us about fear that was broken in your life.
Yes.
30-something years ago. And since then, you have been free from fear.
Yes.
We've got a minute before the next break. Can you actually get free from certain things in this world?
I believe that you can. I believe that there are times when you encounter God in deliverance, and lust can be broken over you. That thing in you that connected you maybe when you were 12 or 13, guys getting into puberty and found, you know, a Playboy magazine or something, and got something in their wiring of their brain got connected. God can disconnect that and reconnect the pleasure center of your brain to things of the spirit. To having a healthy marriage and a healthy relationship with your wife, and finding pleasures, you know, that are healthy and godly, that build you up and not pull you down.
Yeah. So that on a practical level, the Holy Spirit working deeply in us, we take in the word, we do it, we know how to do. As we do these things on a daily basis, friends, we grow in grace. We grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And I want to press in a little bit more. We come back with Howie about knowing Jesus and cultivating intimacy with him. One more reminder, if you are in the Tampa area, Thursday night, I'll be doing a lecture at the University of South Florida. The details are on my website, askdrbrown.org. Right at the bottom of the page, you'll see the itinerary. A lecture on Israel and the Palestinians could be controversial. If you're out there able to come, that'd be wonderful. Otherwise, pray. And then Saturday afternoon at the Hilton Tampa Airport West Shore Hotel, I'll be doing a meet and greet 3 to 5 in the afternoon on Saturday. And my guest, Howard Morgan, his website, howardmorganministries.com. You'll find a lot of free material that'll bless you, a lot of resources you can purchase on CD, DVD, and in writing as well. Friends, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, there is an answer in Jesus. This is not just abstract religion. This is practical, overcoming life in the Lord. There's freedom in the Spirit, grounded in the Word, focused on Jesus. There's freedom that can be lived out for every one of us. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And I'm attempting to do this broadcast, and not like a Rush Limbaugh with one hand tied behind his back, but with one grandchild on one knee. If she'll cooperate, I'm going to do this last segment here. She's quiet. She's mature. I tried one time when I was first on radio. The grandkids with me, and they had to sit quietly, but our younger guy was a lot younger and wasn't quite able to handle that. Remember that well. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Excuse me, my guest, Dr. Howard Morgan, his website, howardmorganministries.com. Howie, we've got just 5 minutes to go, and I normally interrupt a lot more and interact more with guests, but I've just been enjoying listening to you talk and teach and instruct our listeners. So let's just take these last few minutes here and talk about on the most practical level. People are often frustrated with just cultivating a relationship with the Lord. They hear you talk about intimacy, about walking with the Lord, about being led by God, about hearing his voice. And for many, it seems like, well, that's because he's in ministry, or maybe because he's Jewish, or I don't know, he's got like some special advantage, or I don't know how to do that. And it's not that everyone's going to have visions and dreams and hear things the same way, but we can all have intimacy with God. So just take a couple minutes. The most basic thing you tell someone, how do I cultivate intimacy with God?
Well, the first thing you have to do is have a desire for it. You have to have, and then number one, you have to have a desire for it. Number two, you have to recognize there are principles that God operates according to. How do you know those principles? You learn them in the Bible. You get a hold of your Bible and your notebook, and you sit with God, and you say to him, I want to fulfill your will. This is a very special prayer to God. When you turn to him and say, Father, I want to fulfill your will. I want you to have pleasure in my life on the earth. And I'll give your listeners a Yiddish word. I want to give you nachas, which means deep pleasure, so that God, when you look upon the world and you see so many things that grieve you, I want you to look at me and I want you to find pleasure. And then I make the habit. You have to make that. This has to be your habit, dear listener, that when God tells you to do something, you do it. You get that little thing inside of your head or in your spirit, or you when you wake up in the morning or whatever it is, learn to cultivate obedience. This is so important to the Lord. He measures this. It's so valuable to him, shall I say, your obedience, even in the small things. Pick up your shoe, clean under your bed, do the dishes for your wife, call your mother, whatever. Those little acts of obedience, even if you're not even sure it's the word of the Lord, because your heart is turned to him, you're acting in obedience because you're saying to him, I really want to know you, I really want a relationship with you, and I really want to bring you pleasure. So you read your Bible with your notebook, you pray, you turn your heart, Lord, I want to hear your voice. God will speak to you in all kinds of interesting ways, whether it's directly by his Spirit, through the Word, through a book, through a minister, through a CD, through a little child having a conversation, through a stranger on the street. He can speak in so many interesting ways. And when he speaks, cultivate obedience. And if you fail to obey, cultivate repentance. The Bible says, Proverbs 24:16, the righteous person falls seven times, which means a complete number, but picks himself up again. So if you fail, no condemnation. You dust yourself off and you pick yourself up again. And it's dusting yourself off and picking yourself up, facing in the direction of God. That's what pleases the Lord, that you are facing in the right direction. That's what repentance is. It's that turning to the Lord, facing him and saying, okay, Lord, I'm your student. I've fallen again. God says, no big deal. I forgive you. Come on, I'll teach you again. His mercies are new every morning. Yesterday is over. There's a fresh love and grace for every day. And if our listeners will practice these things and not judge themselves, not condemn themselves, that's the tactics of the enemy, to come down on yourself and to judge yourself and to put yourself down. Don't listen to any of that. Instead, let your mind be renewed by the Word of God that encourages you to come to him as a student who's learning from their mistakes, who's in class every day with a loving teacher who intends to help you learn. He doesn't want to fail you. He wants you to be the master with him. He wants to teach you. He wants to train you. He wants you to be one of those that he's proud of and can say, you've overcome. Come, sit on my throne with me and rule and reign with me.
Yeah, Howie, that is awesome. And the perspective that he doesn't want to fail us. He wants us to pass and to grow and then to glorify him. Awesome. Hey, I know you're always busy, but thanks for taking 2 full hours out with us. Appreciate it. Friends, go to the website, howardmorganministries.com. Start to plug into what he and his wife Janet are doing. You will be blessed. Again, Howie, thanks so much for joining us today on the broadcast.
Yeah, bless you, Mike.
All right, friends, we have specially available today a wonderful message, a practical, life-changing message. My friend Howie Morgan, how he overcame debilitating fear. Saved about 8 years, God told him to preach on the street corner of Brooklyn during rush hour, and it triggered all these other fears he had in the past, and he got victory. It was a battle over months, and then when he understood how to step forward in this, he got free. Practical, life-changing. So we've got the CD, especially from Howie. We worked this out to get it to you. So $10, postage paid. We want to send it to you. Here's the number to call. If you're dealing with fear in your life, if you want to be free, you know other friends that are dealing with fear, very practical, very important message, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you haven't gotten your copy, your pre-ordered, signed, hardcover version, numbered and signed of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, you can still do that. You can call in to do that. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978 to order this special resource from Howie Morgan's ministry. Friends, be praying with us, be praying for us. We've got a lot of wonderful things coming up in front of us. The lecture Q&A at University of South Florida on Thursday, the debate in New York City with Rabbi Shmuley the following Tuesday. In fact, he's scheduled to be on the air with me the first hour of this coming Monday. A lot of things we're producing, putting out in the middle of the Lord's at work. So be praying with us. Be praying for us. Your contributions make a massive difference. Your prayers make a massive difference. If you want to become a monthly torchbearer, hold our hands up on a monthly basis and give at least $25 or more to the ministry. We send you a new audio CD, sometimes a DVD, free every month. We give you free access to our online classes, which normally are $50 a class. You get free access to our online classes and 15% discount on all of your online orders. So it's our way to say thank you and sow back into you. My bottom line today, we are on a journey. It is not just one stop and it's all over. We are on a journey. We are growing. Don't let the setbacks stop you. Don't let the failures stop you. Turn to the Lord. Be cleansed. Repent where you need to. And move forward. If you draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to you.